Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Do we change, or does the world change us? Joe and Bethy Kaufman were born into a world full of promise. Growing up in 1950s Detroit, they live in a perfect Dick and Jane house, where their roles in the family are clearly defined. Joe is the tomboy, the bookish rebel with a passion to make the world more fair. Bethy is the pretty, feminine good girl, a would-be star who enjoys the power her beauty confers and dreams of a traditional life. But the truth ends up looking different from what the girls imagined. Joe and Bethy survive traumas and tragedies, as their lives unfold against the background of free love and Vietnam, Woodstock and women's lib. Bethy becomes an adventure-loving wild child who dives headlong into the counterculture and is up for anything, except settling down. Meanwhile, Joe becomes a proper young mother in Connecticut, a witness to the changing world instead of a participant. Neither woman inhabits the world she dreams of, nor has a life that feels authentic or brings her joy. Is it too late for the women to finally stake a claim on Happily Ever After? Today's Reader's Advisory is Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner. This family drama begins in Detroit and follows two sisters through 7 decades of their lives. Heartbreaking and touching, with detailed, thoughtful characters, this novel touches upon LGBTQ issues, women's issues, trauma, and religion. Readers may also enjoy Lucky Us by Amy Bloom. Brilliantly written, deeply moving, fantastically funny, Lucky Us introduces us to Eva and Iris. Disappointed by their families, Iris, the hopeful star, and Eva, the sidekick, journey across 1940s America in search of fame and fortune. Iris's ambitions take them from small-town Ohio to an unexpected and sensuous Hollywood, across the America of reinvention in a stolen station wagon to the jazz clubs and golden mansions of Long Island. With their friends in high and low places, Iris and Eva stumble and shine through a landscape of big dreams, scandals, betrayals, and war. Filled with gorgeous writing, memorable characters, and surprising events, Lucky Us is a thrilling and resonant novel about success and failure, good luck and bad, the creation of a family, and the pleasures and inevitable perils of family life. From Brooklyn's beauty parlors to London's West End, a group of unforgettable people love, lie, cheat, and survive in this story of our fragile, absurd, heroic species. Or City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. In 1940, 19-year-old Vivian Morris has just been kicked out of Vassar College. Owing to her lackluster freshman year performance, her affluent parents send her to Manhattan to live with her Aunt Peg, who owns a flamboyant, crumbling Midtown theater called the Lily Playhouse. There, Vivian is introduced to an entire cosmos of unconventional and charismatic characters. From the fun-chasing showgirls to a sexy male actor, a grand dame actress, a lady killer writer, and no-nonsense stage manager. But when Vivian makes a personal mistake that results in professional scandal, it turns her new world upside down in ways that it will take her years to fully understand. Ultimately, though, it leads her to a new understanding of the kind of life she craves and the kind of freedom it takes to pursue it. It will also lead to the love of her life, a love that stands out from all the rest. Now, 95 years old and telling her story at last, Vivian recalls how the events of those years altered the course of her life, and the gusto and autonomy with which she approached it. At some point in a woman's life, she just gets tired of being ashamed all the time, she muses. After that, she is free to become whoever she truly is. Or Homegoing by Yagyazi. Two half-sisters, Ifia and Essie, are born into different villages in 18th century Ghana. Afia is married off to an Englishman and lives in comfort in the palatial rooms of Cape Coast Castle. Unbeknownst to Ophia, her sister Essie is imprisoned beneath her in the castle's dungeons, sold with thousands of others into the Gold Coast's booming slave trade, and shipped off to America, where her children and grandchildren will be raised in slavery. One thread of homegoing follows Ophia's descendants through centuries of warfare in Ghana, as the Fanta and Asante nations wrestle with the slave trade and British colonization. The other thread follows Essie and her children into America, from the plantations of the South to the Civil War and the Great Migration, from the coal mines of Pratt City, Alabama, to the jazz clubs and dope houses of 20th century Harlem, right up through the present day. Homegoing makes history visceral and captures, with singular and stunning immediacy, how the memory of captivity came to be inscribed in the soul of a nation. Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, Mrs. Everything is on, is 2019, what women born in the 1970s have read so far this year. Happy reading, everyone! Today's library tidbit is about table etiquette in the Middle East. In January, we had a series of events called Feast from the Middle East. In these programs, we taught you how to make falafel and hummus, pita bread, yogurt, and labneh. Before I go into table etiquette, it's worth defining the Middle East, because the region covers a large amount of cultures, lots of land, multiple different countries, and three continents. There are a few different definitions of the Middle East. The most exclusive include the areas of Western Asia, all of Turkey, including the European part, and Egypt. The most inclusive definition is called the Greater Middle East and adds the Maghreb, Sudan, Djibouti, Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Central Asia, and Transcaucasia. Inside the Middle East, there is a portion of the land that is known as the Fertile Crescent. This area covers a geographic area spanning from Egypt to Turkey to Iran. It was in this geographic area that grains and cereals were first cultivated, and where cows, goats, sheep, pigs, and horses were domesticated. Civilization as we understand it would not exist if the Fertile Crescent did not exist. Most of the countries in the Middle East are part of the Arab world, but not all of them. For instance, Iran is not an Arab country. Iranians are descended primarily from Indo-Europeans. The major religions of the Middle East include Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. From here on out, we're going to be talking in generalizations as these rules of etiquette differ to various degrees from country to country. Always check and understand the rules of etiquette for any culture before interacting with that culture. Basic dining etiquette in Middle Eastern countries include the following. Food is often served off of a communal platter in the center of the table. To get food, use only your right hand, and with your fingers or with a piece of bread, scoop up food from that plate. Never, ever use your left hand to eat or touch food. In some places, utensils will be used. Sometimes you may use these in the continental style, with the fork in the left hand with tines pointed downward and the knife in the right hand. But sometimes you will only use utensils in your right hand, switching out which utensils you need as needed. If you are in doubt, observe how the local people eat and follow their example. Try everything offered to you and remember to compliment the host on their food and their hospitality. If you clear your plate, your host will fill it, as an empty plate indicates that the guest has not been fed appropriately. In most places, wait until your host seats you before taking a seat. The oldest man in the room will be shown the most respect. They will be seated first, eat first, and in some countries, it will be expected that everyone will wait until they have entered or left a room before they themselves do so. The rigidity of the social status and acts of deference differ widely in the region. If you have any questions, you can ask your host and they will give you some guidance. It is always a good idea to learn the basic phrases of hospitality before traveling to any region or intimately interacting with people from different cultures. Some examples include saying Alhamdulillah after a meal in Jordan, Dastashoma Donakani after a meal in Iran. Before a meal in Saudi Arabia, say Satain or Bismillah, and after the meal, Daima, and Ilnis Saglik to your host after a meal in Turkey. Please don't take my word for the pronunciation on these phrases. I've tried my best, but I don't speak any of these languages, and so may have mispronounced them all. I'm hoping any speakers of these languages will forgive me and let me know if I accidentally said something improper. Of the recipes we went over in the programs, I personally find hummus the easiest to make. Have I made truly terrible, almost inedible hummus before? You betcha! However, it has very few ingredients and is typically a dependably easy, quick food to make. My favorite hummus recipe is chickpeas, tahini, a sesame paste, salt, lemon juice, garlic, and olive oil, blended together in a food processor. Hummus is also fairly forgiving in that you can add more or less of any of the ingredients to your own personal preference. If you check out recipes online, you'll see that they're all similar to a degree. My one upgrade tip I've learned over the years of researching recipes is that if you are using canned chickpeas, boil the chickpeas for about 20 to 30 minutes. This will make a smoother hummus. Another fun thing about canned chickpeas is that the water the chickpeas come in is called aquafaba, and it can be whipped up like egg whites to make vegan meringue. Doesn't have a whole lot to do with Middle Eastern feasts, but it is a fun, tasty science experiment. If you do want to try this, I recommend using high-quality organic chickpeas in order to prevent a slightly nutty, salty quality to the meringue. Traveling abroad can be a really great experience. However, it can also be too expensive for the majority of people to get to do. By respectfully interacting and experiencing different cultures here in America, though, everyone can broaden their world. The best founding feature of America is that the United States is a melting pot of different cultures. Unless you are a Native American, what you have brought to this country came because either you or your ancestors were immigrants in this country. Our language itself shows this dynamic. American English has picked up words and grammar from every single country it has come into contact with. It's my favorite thing about the language. It's also the most annoying thing for people attempting to learn the language. America is a similar melting pot of culture, custom, and food. We hope you enjoyed the feasts from the Middle East and that you try food and research customs from more areas of the world as well. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario de Compromiso a la Comunidad aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. En este segmento les voy a hablar sobre un libro que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula Una Educación por Tara Westover. La sinopsis. Pueden llamarlo transformación, metamorfosis, falsedad, traición. Yo lo llamo una educación. Nacida en las montañas de Idaho, Tara Westover ha crecido en armonía con la naturaleza, pero doblegada a las leyes que le impone su padre, un mormón fundamentalista convencido de la llegada inminente del fin del mundo. Ella no va a la escuela, al igual que sus hermanos, ni acude al médico cuando se enferma. Todos trabajan con el padre mientras la madre asiste a los vecinos como curandera y partera. Tara tiene un talento, el canto, y una obsesión, saber, y pese a empezar desde cero, reúne las fuerzas necesarias para preparar el examen de ingreso a la universidad. Cuando a los 17 años pisa por primera vez un salón de clases e ignora desde la fecha exacta de su nacimiento hasta que ha habido dos guerras mundiales, pero intuye que la educación será su salvación. Gracias a ella, cruzará el océano y logrará graduarse en Cambridge, aunque para ello deba romper con los lazos de su familia. Mi opinión. La familia Westover vive en un apartado valle de Idaho. Faye y Jean Westover son los padres de 7 hijos y la menor de ellas es Tara. Ninguno de ellos va a la escuela, tampoco al médico, ni siquiera tienen certificado de nacimiento, ni conocen la fecha exacta del mismo. Su vida transcurre en su casa, en el campo, donde Jean y sus hijos mayores se encargan de un desagüe mientras que Faye se dedica a mezclar hierbas para hacer medicinas y ungüentos, que utiliza en su trabajo de curandera. Jean está convencido de que un momento a otro va a llegar el fin del mundo, así que dedica sus esfuerzos a conseguir dinero para poder almacenar comida y preparar la casa para ser autosuficientes cuando ese su momento llegue. Rechaza todo lo que venga de las estructuras de poder existentes como del gobierno. Para él no son más que representaciones de Satanás, y estos pensamientos condicionarán su vida y la de su familia. La novela se divide en tres partes, que abarcarán distintas épocas de la vida de la autora. Su infancia y juventud hasta que llega a la universidad. Su vida allí y su estancia en Cambridge. Como no podía ser de otra manera, encontramos una narración en primera persona con un lenguaje sencillo y un ritmo constante con los que Tara consigue una prosa ligera, fluida, muy agradable de leer y con la que hace cómplice al lector de los hechos que nos está narrando. El título de la novela no puede ser más temático, ya que todo ella gira en torno a la educación y a las consecuencias de esta y de cómo en ocasiones el ser humano se rebela contra ella y los dolores de cabeza que esto ocasiona en él. Tara cree firmemente en los preceptos de su religión. No los cuestiona, aunque desde muy pequeña sospecha que algunas de las cosas que hace y dice su padre son algo exageradas. Aún así, le obedece y le respeta. Cuando alguno de sus hermanos decide apartarse del camino marcado por su padre y empezar estudios superiores, el mundo de Tara empieza a cambiar. Tiene curiosidad, quiere aprender, saber más del mundo que le espera, fuera del reducido ambiente en el que se mueve, y decide que ella también quiere estudiar. Esta decisión le va a suponer grandes sacrificios y luchas interiores. Sacrificios porque nunca ha ido a la escuela, no sabe nada de matemáticas, historia, y tiene que aprender sola en pocos ratos libres que le deja su trabajo en casa. Esto también le provoca una lucha interior, ya que seguir el camino que le desea es desviarse del camino marcado por su padre. Y este camino lo tiene tan marcado, a fuego en su cuerpo y en su mente, que llega a hacerla dudar de lo adecuado de su decisión. Con 17 años consigue entrar en la universidad y es consciente de sus carencias, aunque trata de superarlas con mucho esfuerzo y dedicación. No puede evitar sentir un gran complejo de inferioridad y piensa que nunca conseguirá ser como los demás. A los 19 años, a raíz de una visita de sus padres, se da cuenta de que los raros son ellos y que todo lo que le ha enseñado empieza a tambalearse hasta hacerla tomar la decisión de empezar desde cero. Quiere saber para poder juzgar por sí misma, para poder decidir las cosas, dejar atrás el yugo que su padre le ha impuesto toda su vida con sus creencias, y para ello sabe que no hay mejor que recibir una educación para poder ser una persona independiente, tanto en sus actos como en sus pensamientos. Esto la hace romper con la mayor parte de su familia, que sigue anclada a los dictámenes de su padre. Tan solo recibe el apoyo de su hermano Tyler, quien ya tomó la decisión parecida en el pasado y siempre la ha animado a que viva su vida como desee vivirla. Una educación es una novela que habla de la superación personal, del esfuerzo que realiza su autora para cambiar su vida. Una novela contada de manera honesta que no obliga al lector a posicionarse de un lado o del otro, aunque a veces no pueda hacerlo evitar. Que no critica los preceptos de una religión en la que cree ni los comportamientos de las personas que la rodean. Es una historia de vida que empujará al lector a reflexionar sobre muchas cosas. Una novela para mí inolvidable que no pudo dejar de recomendar. En fin, una educación queda altamente recomendada. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. March 2nd, abstract watercolor painting at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. March 2nd, Animals of the Arctic at 6 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. March 3rd, Sew a Geometric Top at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. Registration is required. March 4th, Female Ancestors at 1 p.m. in the Local History Room. March 5th, Taste the Flavors at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Surprisingly, not a Skittles program. March 9th, Ebooks, Movies, Music, and More, Learn Hoopla at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room C. March 10th, Eastern European Research at 6 p.m. in the Local History Room. March 12th, make a bookmark book light at 10:30 a.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. March 13th, Pi Day at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. March 14th, Anime Saturdays at 1 p.m. in the Teen Room. March 17th, Liquid Clay Pendant at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. March 19th, Intermediate iPhones at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. March 21st, Lecture Series, Who Were the Passengers on the Mayflower and Meet the Pilgrims at 11 a.m. in the Jenkins Wing. March 23rd, Crafting for a Cause at 3 p.m. in the Teen Room. March 24th, Give Them the Pickle at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. Registration is required. March 26th, Rainbow Storytime, Families Are About Love at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. March 27th, Family Trivia Night, Disney at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. March 30th, Enamel Jewelry at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. March 31st, Healthy Waterways in Your Community at 6:30 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. Have a great month, everyone. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, hey, there's a squirrel behind me. Oh, a really fat squirrel just sitting behind me. I'm all right.